we're not going to so much get into like specific health foods. We're going to more focus like overarching trends. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to talk like, oh, what's the new kale? Like kale mm-hmm. is the new lettuce. What we're not doing that. We're going to get into the bigger topics and what we think some of those like buzzwords and things that you'll just start seeing all over the place.
Right.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch. Hello, and thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. And might I say, Happy New Year. Happy New Year, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Happy New Year to you. 2018, do you believe it? Yeah,
it is 2018, which I feel like, I mean, this is dating myself here, but I feel like this is like space age years now.
2018? Like, well, yeah. I mean, like, we should have been having flying cars according to Back to the Future.
I was pretty sure we'd be living the Jetsons life right now.
Yeah.
You know, we're like getting robot close. Dog.
Yeah.
Glad we don't have robot dog. Yeah, so new year and a lot of fun and exciting things, no doubt, in store for this year. And I think as far as our topic for this week, we wanted to talk about some predictions around what some of those fun and exciting things might be, mm-hmm. specifically the health trends. You see these articles everywhere. Like, I've been seeing them for a couple weeks now.
Right.
What are the, like, the big health wellness trends going to be? So we've got our predictions. And it'll be interesting to compare the end of the year to see if we were right.
Yeah.
We'll make like a little note, circle back to this episode at the end of the year and just kind of check in and see how far off or whether we were right on the money.
Mm-hmm.
But I know before we get into that, we want to do our fitness training recap for the week.
Right. And also we got something to promote that's going to be coming up on the Facebook page, right?
Oh, yes. I almost forgot. He's like winking at me and I totally missed it. Uh-huh. So yeah, we mentioned in previous episodes that we have our new Facebook page. It's been up and running for several weeks now, and we've been putting some exclusive content up there for you guys. So in between episodes, you can actually go there and get some additional content from us. And one of the things that we did today, actually, on New Year's Day,
mm-hmm.
was a taste test of the protein bars called One.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you get to see us decide what's more tasty, the protein bar or a piece of cake or a donut, because they are donut and birthday cake flavored right. protein bars, which yeah. is what caught our attention. So
apparently highly recommended by the Trader Joe's staff.
Yeah, the Trader Joe's staff was pretty adamant that they were like flying off the shelves and people were super excited for them.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to put that to the test and we did a Facebook Live review. So definitely head over and check that out and you can laugh at us. Hmm. You can let us know if you've tried those bars too, because I'm curious to know, like, how popular they are.
Right.
I'd never heard of them before.
No, we didn't until we saw them at TJ's. That was yeah. the first time we saw them. So, yeah, we're always into taste testing new, quote-unquote, health foods. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm a little suspect of something that's basically modeled after a donut and birthday cake to yeah. consider it health food. But we'll see.
Yep.
All right, so now we'll go jump into the training recap. And I know you are still searching for that opportunity to get out of the house and get to your first yoga session or outside, basically training time.
Yeah, I mean, mostly what I've been able to do and something that I really have liked to do is take Ella to the river walk,
mm-hmm.
which we've talked about in previous episodes. The Tampa River Walk is pretty awesome in terms of it's just, I don't, it would be, it's like 9 miles or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it connects to Bayshore.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So, yeah, it's pretty much 9 miles. Yeah,
it's just like ongoing sidewalk and it's right by the water. And I just like taking Ella there for a walk in the mornings. Like, either Saturdays or Sundays, I've been usually, barring holidays,
mm-hmm.
Getting her down there and walking with her and sometimes bringing our somewhat psychotic dog who is just a giant basket case and really struggles with that walk still. But That's been the kind of activity that I've been trying to squeeze in here and there. And but as far as like formal training and getting out to any kind of studio, that's still been a challenge, although I'm pretty sure I can make it happen at some point in like the month of January. Mm-hmm. But I'm not pushing it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. At least I've got a really, you know, I've got a number of options I could really explore if I have a chunk of time to train at home.
Right. Yeah, that's good. You know, obviously you're staying active and that's the main thing. And it's interesting. I listened to a podcast this week with Dr. Rhonda Patrick, and she was talking about kind of postpartum because she just had a baby. Also, Dr. Rhonda Patrick, I just said that like everybody knows, should know who that is, and you should. I recommend you. But Found My Fitness on Twitter and on Instagram. She's a great source of health and nutrition information. But she just recently had a baby, so she talked about a lot of those topics we talked about or discussed while you were pregnant about, you know, trying to fight off postpartum anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
And the best way to kind of do that and all kinds of other stuff. So obviously exercise being the main one, and it was interesting to hear her talk about it. But in regards to my training recap for the week, obviously still training at Tampa Strength, a little bit slower week since it was a holiday week. Had some few people out of town, but got back to training at Title also and Tampa Strength, and actually contacting a lot of new potential clients for the new year. So obviously people, as you imagine, are really into trying to get onto a fitness plan in the start of the year. So had made some new contacts this week. So hopefully we're going to be adding some people to the ETT community that are going to be training with me, not just for the start of 2018, but in perpetuity, essentially. So that was a really exciting thing for me. And another exciting thing was registering for the TRX training course. I'm going to be doing that in a couple weeks. And TRX, for anyone that doesn't know, is actually the brand name for a suspension training kind of company. They actually produce the suspension trainers, the actual equipment associated with it. But a lot of the TRX name has kind of become synonymous with the suspension training. You know, so people say TRX training, but it's actually just suspension training. I mean, there's other companies that make suspension trainers, but TRX has become synonymous with it, almost like Kleenex and things like that, you know?
Tissues, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I get to go to a course with the owner of Tampa Strength, Sean Abelo, and we are going to go to the first kind of 100 level of the TRX training. It's an awesome training tool. Honestly, all the clients that I've introduced TRX to have loved it. It's super low impact. It can be super low impact for anybody that has injuries or any like pre-existing conditions that might inhibit movement. But then you can also make it super, super difficult for anybody that's more advanced. So, I mean, it's a great exercise tool, piece of exercise equipment that all you really need.
Equipment? It is a great equipment.
It's a great piece of equipment that you only need essentially, an attachment point and your body weight to get a great workout, because you really don't introduce any kind of outside weights or anything like that. So it's awesome. I'm really excited to go to that and kind of learn more exercises, more kind of programming to try to just expand the workouts that I already use it in. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, and I feel like if you go to any gym nowadays, I feel like kettlebells and TRX are pretty standard in almost any gym where you have like personal training.
Right.
And for good reason, because I think a lot of people get intimidated when they see these things hanging from the walls.
Right.
And they're like, I'm not screwing with that. So, I mean, you kind of need some expert guidance through them. And I've used them too when I took personal training, and it's really fun and it's super challenging.
Right.
It just adds this totally different level of challenge to your training.
Yeah, a lot of balance training, a lot of like I especially my advanced clients will do single leg exercises with them, which is really, you know, even people that aren't advanced, you can do mm-hmm. single leg exercises because they basically have the bands to support them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's there's a variety of exercises, and you know, the TRX company actually or produces multiple type of exercise equipment inside kind of the suspension training realm. So it's not just the bands that you can see hanging from the ceiling or anything like that. There's other ones called a rip trainer. We actually use that at Tampa Strength. It's pretty cool. So I'm really excited about that. So
I'm not going to lie. I actually looked at some of their equipment.
Yeah.
To get you for Christmas.
Not a bad idea, because they're good for portable. They're very portable, too.
Yeah.
So that's another one, a beneficial thing about them. So, well, yeah, hey.
They were a little pricey, though.
Yeah, obviously, TRX, like we said, TRX kind of got the market quarter.
It's the brand,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so they get to maybe jack up the prices a little bit since they're kind of the premier
maybe
company.
Maybe next year when I've not taken 2 months off of paid work.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so as Shannon mentioned in the intro, we are going to talk, or essentially we're going to make our predictions for the biggest health topics of 2018. But before that, we want to tell you guys about our sponsors.
If you're like Nick and I, you love a good cup of coffee. It's one of the reasons we're so excited that our sponsors at Hemp Coffee Exchange have a special treat for our listeners. Right now, you can head over to their website, hempcoffeeexchange.com, and save 20% off your order. Just use the code ATF at checkout and receive your 20% off. We're not going to so much get into like specific health foods. We're going to more focus like overarching trends.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to talk like, oh, what's the new kale? Like kale is the new lettuce. We're not doing that. We're going to get into the bigger topics and what we think some of those like buzzwords and things that you'll just start seeing all over the place.
Right. Yeah, so we could go on for hours with this because there's so many health topics. And so what we kind of narrowed it down to four kind of large ones that maybe have some, you know, nuances inside of them that could get a little bit more specific. But we're going to stay kind of broad. The first one we're going to do, and are we going to do? First one that we are, our prediction is the resurgence of dietary fat. We've talked about a lot on this podcast how I'm a big fan of dietary fat.
This is not a new trend if you're a regular listener.
Yeah, exactly.
This is like, finally, it's going mainstream.
Right. And honestly, kind of the fat-free diets and fat-free products are really, people are starting to see the light and see the problems with those products and what happens when you strip fat from products like dairy or anything of that nature, that it's honestly, it does more harm than good, because usually a lot of times you rip the fat from it and they throw in sugar or artificial sweeteners to kind of still make it palatable. And that really can, we're seeing now research that's causing more and more health problems. So we've seen it, and we've seen it in multiple magazines. I think we talked about, Martha Stewart was talking about the importance of kind of like full fat dairy.
Yes.
Especially, obviously, we talk about, you know, we're huge fans of Greek yogurt and full fat Greek yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we have proper research, the fact that you need dietary fat for certain metabolic functions and bodily, you know, in order to kind of like sustain sustain proper health, that's becoming more mainstream now, which is great, because I've even seen it, you know, we've talked about him on the podcast before, Mark Sisson, the guy whose blog, Mark's Daily Apple, also kind of the primary main person behind the Primal Kitchen. He was on Good Morning America recently talking about the ketogenic diet. Which in ketogenic is usually, I mean, there's kind of some broad definitions of ketogenic diet, but really that kind of focuses on high fat, low carb.
Keeping your body in ketosis.
Yes, keeping it.
Yeah.
And there's different levels of ketosis, and we're not getting into that because there's definitely different.
That's a big topic for another day.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, you know, different, you know, contention. A lot of people say, oh, ketosis is deadly, things like that. And it's just, it's a broad topic that we're not going to talk about today. But, you know, he was on Good Morning America recently talking about the ketogenic diet, talking about, you know, maybe living a low carb lifestyle and maybe adding more dietary fat to your diet, and the importance of that and kind of the benefits that it provides. And also, it's even to go hand in hand with that to a certain extent, you know, even the kind of the U.S. government is kind of catching up with that to a certain extent. They've kind of rescinded their cholesterol recommendations. You know, recently in the 2015 dietary guidelines, they no longer, you know, recommend that you basically not eat food with dietary cholesterol. So then they, you know, eggs are back on the list and everything like that, because the research shows that dietary cholesterol does very little to affect blood serum cholesterol. So I think the more and more research comes out, the more and more importance of full fat and basically, you know, dietary fat is going to be coming into the mainstream, like you said.
For sure.
So, we've been saying that for the last, man, as long as this podcast has been on.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's really interesting to see, you know, how these trends are really starting to come to kind of the mainstream, like you said.
Yeah, so. You see some kind of, like, they don't really go anywhere. They sort of just stay within, like, the nutrition, like, fitness community. And
yeah.
They don't really emerge as, like, a mainstream trend. But then it's really interesting to see the ones that emerge from all of the rest.
Right.
To be like the next Atkins, you know, like when low carb was huge and right. Like the things that spurred that on. I feel like we went that route and now we're sort of backtracking to find certain trends. Like the idea of eating whole foods was right. Really popular in the last couple of years. That was something that most like nutrition and, you know, fitness-minded people were like, duh.
Yeah.
So I feel like the rest of the country and even, like, the world is starting to catch up on some of those things that fat's not bad. And,
right.
And it's actually really important for your body to function well. Right. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we're excited. I'm excited because I think it can...
I'm excited.
You know, if it keeps training
I'm eating cheese right now. So, I mean, I'm, like, a walking...
Yeah. Meat and cheese right now.
Yeah.
So... It's good, too, because, I could go on the whole tangent about that, but we're not, because we're going to get to the next topic, which is, I'm going to let you introduce it.
Sleep optimization?
That's right. Not a question. That's a statement. It is. You're right. Sleep optimization. I mean, the research is coming out just like, seems like every day a new study comes out. And, I mean, it's, like you said, it's almost like a duh, you know, it's like a given. Mm-hmm. I mean, but it's becoming more and more apparent with this research about how important sleep is and good sleep.
Oh, yeah. They've tied it to what? Like, obviously, like, immunity, super critical for your immunity, but also, like, retaining fat and things like that. Like, yep. If you don't get enough sleep, your body retains more fat.
Yep.
I mean, those are just a couple of the things.
Yeah, it said insufficient. This is a study from 2010. It says insufficient sleep due to bedtime curtailment or poor sleep quality may represent a novel risk factors for obesity and type 2 diabetes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could do everything right. You could eat right. You could exercise. And you could still be holding on to extra weight and you're thinking, something's wrong with my diet. I have to eat less calories or something like that. It's just... But you're really missing it that your sleep is your most important thing because you need that sleep to repair your body and also let your body kind of essentially reset every day. And if you don't let your body do that, or if maybe sleep optimization has a lot to do, you know, could influence like what you're eating before bed or if you're eating before bed, you know, if you're letting your body work on repairing it instead of work on food that you're introducing because people like the snack time or bedtime snacks or something
midnight
like that.
Midnight snacks.
Exactly. So, but the idea of kind of a whole industry becoming, I mean, for sleep optimization is really becoming popular. I mean, how many new mattresses and pillows are coming out, the Sleep Number bed, the cooling. Yeah. Like, I remember a few years ago, them talking about a cooling pad under the first, like...
We have that in our mattress.
Yeah, it's like, it's already gel built into the bed. Yeah. It's the pillow top? Do we have a pillow top? No, we have memory foam or something like that,
yeah,
right?
we have a Tempur-Pedic.
Anyways, yeah, so we paid what? I mean, we're not going to say a number, but basically we're doing paying our bed off in installments, right?
We'll have it paid off by the end of this year, I'm very happy to say.
Yeah, because we bought a nice bed.
We've been paying it off for a long time, but you spend so much time, like, or you should be spending a lot of time sleeping.
Right.
And so those products, like, you need to get good products like that. Yes. You need to get good pillows, good sheets, good mattress. I mean, those are, like, critical things, but, I mean, it's also even, like, technology's influence on our sleep and how they're finding, like, they're like, take the TVs out of your bedrooms and put your phone in another room if you can.
Right.
So, I mean, like, all of these things that we've been doing in our life have had such a negative impact on sleep. Like, we're basically a culture of walking sleep zombies.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a picture for you.
Sleep zombies. Yeah.
Sleep zombies. Interesting. That's going to be the title of this podcast.
Apparently. Sleep zombies.
Sleep zombies.
But I agree. And like with a lot of the chronic conditions we're seeing nowadays, whether like we just said, type 2 diabetes, anxiety, depression, obesity, this sleep is a huge contributing factor. I mean, it might not just be diet. It might not be, you know, genetics. It, you know, sleep can be one of the main contributing factors to all those chronic diseases.
And yeah.
Proliferance? No, that's not a word. Proliferation.
Can you tell? Like,
proliferation.
This is a late podcast recording.
The proliferation of those chronic diseases. I just want to mention a stat real quick because I've been trying to mention it. Dr. Chris Kresser, Chris Kresser, I heard him on a podcast recently, and he said that 100 million Americans have prediabetes or type 2 diabetes. And we just heard that one of the main contributing factors to that could be lack of sleep or improper sleep.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you think about 100 million, that's almost a third of the probably 350 million Americans.
I have no idea.
I think it's close to a third of the population have type 2s or prediabetes. And, I mean, that's huge. I mean, that is a huge thing in chronic diseases, and those things that's a major contributing factor to our healthcare costs, our national healthcare costs.
Yeah.
So think about just starting at the simple as getting a good bed, getting a good pillow, trying to eliminate the electronics before bed.
And distractions,
Our recommendation, we've said it once, and I'll say it again, get a diffuser in essential oils.
Oh, gosh, I did get him essential oils for Christmas.
Boom. Because I'm a Scent DJ.
His nickname is Scent DJ.
Scent DJ.
He earned that when we were at the hospital.
Yeah.
When I was in labor.
I'm not afraid to admit it.
He's a very good Scent DJ. It does. Like, it's pretty amazing.
It's very soothing. And I tell you, it's nothing to joke about. Sleep, obviously, we've just talked about it. It's super important.
You need to do, like, an essential oils breakdown.
Wow. Nah, I don't know how many viewers or downloads we'll get there. Maybe a lot. Maybe I could be wrong.
Let us know. Essential oil breakdown. Does that sound great or what?
I do know some people that are kind of like, who do sell essential oils. Oh, yeah. In the area, so.
I feel like a lot more people are starting to peddle them on the side.
Right.
It's like, you want some essential oils? I got some in my trunk.
Yeah, I mean, they've talked about like drinking peppermint oil for sports performance. Oh, not drinking straight, sorry, adding it to water. That's what I meant. So anyways, we're going on some tangents. Let's get to the third prediction for our 2018 biggest health trend.
Yes, and this is one that I feel like if you've been in certain circles, you are probably already, this is something you've heard. You've heard this, you probably practiced this, and it's mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole idea of mindfulness is really about being aware. And it's about kind of our lack of attention. It's really an increasing trend in kids, especially. I think we're going to see a lot more of this in like younger education fields as well. Because like you talk about ADD and all of these disorders and mm-hmm. just, you know, challenges, a lot of it comes down to teaching kids and adults alike how to be mindful and actually pay attention to what the heck is happening to them in the moment. So mindfulness really is not just like looking back and pondering your day. It's about living actively and in the moment and being very conscientious of what you're doing and what's happening around you. And a lot of other things kind of like come off of this idea. So like meditation
mm-hmm.
is a way to train mindfulness. And even like breathing work, breath work, like meditation and breath work also, I feel like they're kind of all under the same umbrella
mm-hmm.
of mindfulness. And really, being in that moment and really being aware of what's happening and not consistently thinking about tomorrow and your to-do list for the weekend and just all these other things, because you're going to be less fulfilled in reality. You're always going to be thinking about that next thing, what else you want. But wouldn't it be great to actually be in the moment, be aware of what's going on, and be grateful for what you have in that moment? Mm-hmm. So they're seeing that, you know, especially like I said with kids, it's becoming a lot more prevalent to start considering teaching kids mindfulness, because otherwise we're setting themselves up for all kinds of issues down the road.
Right.
And you get like thoughtful kids that understand how to self-soothe. And we're not just talking about sucking on a thumb. We're like talking about people that can problem solve, yeah, and like assess a situation and not just immediately react to it, which, because of how most of us grow up and just our culture, that is like we're not taught to be mindful and, wow, and yeah, really be thinking about this moment.
Wow, that was a really good description of it. I couldn't have.
Do you feel like compelled to go and learn how to be more mindful now?
No, I will.
I know,
yes,
you
of
already
course.
Are.
Of
but...
course, yes. I always feel compelled to do that, because, as you said, as you described it, those things about trying to. I'm guilty of it too. Just trying to predict, you know, not predict, but think about the next day's activities or things like that. Not living in the moment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But practicing meditation is something I'm really trying to, make it a regular thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like you said, just being aware of kind of where you are, the situation, being aware of situations is very important.
Yes.
It helps you not only personally, but professionally. It helps,
yeah,
you, because if you can be aware and, like you said, problem solve and in the moment,
and not just immediately react.
Yes, you are going to advance so much more. Whatever,
yeah,
it doesn't matter what field you are. You're going to be that guy, that reliable person that people are going to say, this person can, under fire, can, you know, produce,
mm-hmm,
essentially. And it's hard to kind of, you know, I know I'm kind of somewhat jumping a little bit, but it's so important to be aware and,
yeah,
you know, be in the moment and being able to live in that moment without thinking about the, you know, 5 steps ahead.
Yeah, and it's something that I am super passionate about. So obviously I'm biased here, because this is like one of the reasons I love yoga and why I went to teacher training was a lot of this kind of the way you're taught to think. And
mm-hmm,
it is a very present practice. And it is all focused around teaching you to be mindful,
right,
of your body, of your spirit, of your connection to other things around you. But beyond that, how often have you heard in, you know, whether it's one person in your life or you've said this multiple times, like, oh, like you get to the end of the holiday season and you're like, God, that went by fast.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not say that, like, your vacation, you get to the end of vacation, you're like, damn, like, I feel like that was just yesterday we did,
yeah,
that. Well, guess what? That's because you're not really being super mindful.
Right.
When you are mindful, you are taking in more in that moment. You're not allowing your brain to stray off into like la-la land.
Mm-hmm.
And you are concentrating on that current experience. You're getting more out of it. So you're not only more content in the moment, but you're more fulfilled later. You remember more. You recall more. And you really do experience more,
right,
as a result. So,
yep,
one of the things that I've been telling people to do for years is, especially during like key times in your life, like around the holidays, if you love the holidays, to be present and to be mindful and really try to focus on not getting so caught up in like the list of things you have to do.
Right.
And I'm really super dedicated in the future. I don't know where I'm going with my future, but teaching mindfulness, I think, is going to be such a big demand. Like,
right,
that people need to learn this from someplace, and not everybody is going to find it, you know, necessarily through a physical practice like yoga. But you really need to at least be aware of what this is, because right. it has such a remarkable impact on your quality of life.
I agree. You know, we use a couple of meditation apps, and you know, I think I find those very helpful, guided meditation. So those are always a source for people. Honestly, martial arts taught me a lot.
Yeah.
About, it's very similar, I think, to yoga, probably, about breathing and
that physical practice.
Right.
Yeah, that the focus on the physical.
Right.
And how that connects to the other things around you. It's very, very similar.
I think that's a lot of exercise. You have to be present. You have mm-hmm. to be in the moment when you do exercise too.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. You shouldn't be unconsciously doing it. You should be thinking about your technique, thinking about what you're doing, how it's helping your body. That's a good way to kind of help you be mindful too, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
all right. We're coming down towards the end. We got one more to do, and I'm going to introduce it. The last one is something that you've talked about on this podcast a couple times, and I mm-hmm. think it's very important, is self-care.
Yes.
Now, what is self-care? Taking care of yourself?
Well, in the very simplest form, it is.
Right.
And this may sound like an idiotic trend, but this is popping up also in a lot more mainstream media. So I've seen this in not just like regular, you know, yoga journal kind of stuff. I've seen this in like mainstream magazines where self-care is a practice. Self-care is about truly making and taking time for your own development, your own care. Mm-hmm. So this can mean anything from sitting and reading a book to going for a walk in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about being focused on yourself and really re-energizing yourself. I mean, you may think this is a hippy-dippy explanation, but we expend a lot of energy in our lives in our day-to-day practice. We give a lot of energy to people around us. I mean, you talk about, like, especially parents, they're caregivers.
Right.
Caregivers of any kind, whether it's caring for, you know, old, young, medium, whatever. You are constantly expending energy doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to run out at some point. You're going to run on empty. And there's science that does back this up. You know, like you deplete your adrenal glands and you, all of these things when you are not taking care of yourself, when you're allowing stress and anxiety to become the dominant part of your day.
Right.
And you're not taking that moment to stop and refuel your own energy supply. That's really what it comes down to, is taking that time to reinvest and kind of refuel yourself. So if your energy, your personal energy is like a gas tank, by the end of the day, you're usually running on empty. If you're doing things like any kind of teaching, any kind of caregiving, which almost all of us do in some capacity, that is causing that fuel gauge to go down.
Right.
You know, you're expending a lot more energy. How do you think you actually get that back? Because sleeping takes care of the base level. You're talking about, you know, just keeps you going. But you need to invest to, you know, basically refuel that tank.
Yep.
And it can be assisted by good habits like eating right and exercising. And exercising in itself is a form of self-care, but it also is about being still and just making some time in your schedule periodically to recharge.
Right.
And I think, you know, people have referred to, like, aspects of self-care, doing things for themselves. Previously, like, oh yeah, I need to refuel, my tank's on empty, blah, blah, blah. You've heard that before. People go on vacation frequently. Like they don't take care of themselves. They don't take care of themselves. They don't save any time for themselves. And then they go on vacation and they expect vacation to fix it all.
Right.
You know, like that's a frequent expectation. I know that used to be me. actually.
It's like trying to cram for a test the night before.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're like, I'm gonna use this 1 week. I'm gonna get everything back. I'm gonna fix myself. I'm gonna feel freaking fantastic. And then again, you get to the end of the vacation and you're like, oh my God, I don't feel it. Like, I don't really feel fulfilled. I feel like this was a failure.
Yep.
And you're not happy because guess what? You can't cram for a final in one night if you've never cracked the book. It's just not even possible.
Yep.
So this idea has been thought to be, I think, sort of selfish in the past. We've been taught to think like investing time, especially for those people who give so much to other people, caregivers.
Right.
Really common. Teachers, again. The reason I learned about this and became so aware of it was because I was learning to teach people a very energetic practice, yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And you are very much in danger of tapping out if you don't stop and take care of yourself.
Right. I mean, you can only be a good caregiver if you take care of yourself.
Yeah, you have to take care of yourself first.
Right.
It's like on the airplane when they tell you in the safety procedure, they say to fasten your air mask before you assist others because you can't help someone else if your air mask ain't on and you got no air.
I feel like you mentioned it before. It's a good analogy.
It's such a good analogy, but like that is the perfect thing. Like that example says so much.
Yes.
Because it's just common sense.
Right. Yep. So there's what's your kind of go-to self-care practice, would you say?
I think, honestly, for me, my go-to is, like, yoga or some kind of, like, physical activity. Not necessarily, like, a high impact, but I'm really enjoying the moments where it's just kind of me doing something very low-key. I'm thinking that meditation will become more of that.
Right.
Recharging, but it's moments of like getting ready in the morning that are very ritualistic,
right,
but are like my only me time during the day. That and probably like my 10 or 15 minutes of yoga I do in the morning.
Yeah. No, it's
that's it.
Morning stretching routine. That's something I try to do stay dedicated to.
Spa time. When I do spa time, like I do at home facials and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
No, that's good. So those are our predictions for 2018, biggest health trends, you know, and I think our honorable mention was gut health. You know, we did a whole podcast about that. So
yes,
that's probably going to be huge in 2018. So go back and listen to that podcast for sure.
I do have one other random, like,
honorable mention.
Yeah. An honorable mention. I think that boutique fitness is going to be brought into the home by technology.
Ooh.
So I know like that's been a really big thing previous years, but boutique fitness being the big thing, you know, everyone going to like little studios and stuff like that. I think the age of boutique is over or coming to an end. And I think that in-home integrated with technology is absolutely going to be that next wave.
Interesting.
Insert reference to the Peloton. And I've been getting served with ads like crazy for Flywheel, which is the new competitor to Peloton.
All right. Well, we'll talk. Let's not get into it too much. I think that's a future podcast waiting to happen right there about that.
Oh, is it?
I think so. Competitor to Peloton, which is our baby. We love the Peloton. So
maybe
we'll compare and contrast them.
That's just a honorable mention as to something else that we're going to just be keeping an eye on.
Yep.
And we think is on the horizon.
Right. And if you guys have any predictions for the biggest health trends of 2018, please feel free to send them our way. All our contact info is on the outro. Or you could just go on to the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page and post on there. Like we said, we're going to have some exclusive content going up there actually today. So make sure you check that out. And you got anything else for them?
No. Happy New Year, everybody.
All right. Happy New Year's. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks.
I've finished chewing.
No, I know.
I'll just talk like this. Hello. Thank you for tuning in today. He does not think this is funny. Mm.